Take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11 tonight. Luke chapter 11, let's stand as we read God's Word. Again, we're glad you're here tonight. It's always good to be in God's house on Wednesday night. It's a good charge and get you going, and we've got a lot of things that, you know, we face all through the week, and we just need to be encouraged, and I want to encourage you tonight with the Word of God. Luke chapter 11, we're beginning with verse number 5. The Bible said, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, if you come to my house tonight at midnight asking for 3 loaves of bread, you'll probably not be answered, all right? So, notice what it says. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. It's a good answer. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Thank you, and you may be seated. In our last lesson, we learned the fact that all of us have common enemies. We learned there are 4 enemies we all deal with. We deal with the flesh. And certainly all of us have that flesh tendency, that struggle with our flesh. We learned that we deal with the devil, and the devil is always bringing attacks to us. We learned that the demons is another one of our enemies, and they're there also, and we have to deal with them on a day-to-day basis. And then we also learned the world is our enemy. But since one of those areas that is our enemy, according to the Bible, is the flesh, we also must understand that we cannot rely on the flesh to live the spiritual life. Enemies can be defeated, though, but it's not defeated through the energies of the flesh. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You can't. Because these enemies are more powerful than you and will always be there to defeat you. You cannot live your Christian life on your own ability. You can't. And since one of our enemies is the flesh, it is clear that we cannot live an obedient life in the power of the flesh. You can't do it. It's possible that we can have some discipline. And it's possible that we can discipline ourselves to maybe do something or not do something. But ultimately, we find ourselves giving in. Ultimately, we find our flesh weakening. Ultimately, we find that there will become a time when our flesh will fail. We cannot rely on the flesh. We cannot trust the flesh. I will never trust my flesh. And if I try to, I'm going to find that my flesh is weak and I will fall because my flesh is my enemy. There's no doubt about that. And since believers are weak, since we are weak and helpless, God has given us specific guidelines on how we are to walk with the Lord. As we remove our lives daily from the influences of the world, we are to walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's just how it works. In other words, as I'm removing myself from the influence of the world, you know, if we're under the influence of the world, that means that we're listening to what the world tells us. That means we are thinking like the world thinks. That means we are mixing with the world and the things of the world. We're kind of, you know, allowing, you know, like the trends of the society kind of dictate how we think and how we live and how we dress and how we act and what we are. But as we realize those things are our enemies, we remove ourselves from those things, we're going to find that in our own life that there's changes that God's occurring, and we're going to go from living with that influence in my life to living under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And that is the key to understanding, is yielding to His power in my life. I want to not think like the world. I want to think like God thinks. I want to begin to think as the Lord thinks and as He sees things. And that's what it means. In Galatians, we put a verse in there for you so you can see it. The verse says this in Galatians 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as I'm walking in the Spirit, that means that I'm allowing the Holy Spirit of God to influence how I think, that I'm yielding to that influence in my life every day, that as I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, as I'm starting to allow Him to guide my way of thinking, as I'm allowing Him to kind of lead me along the way, I realize that now that in walking in the Spirit, that God is going to prevent me from going in the pathway that would cause me to walk in this flesh. That's what it means. So in other words, if you were to say this, how can I live the victorious Christian life? It is to walk a spiritual walk. It's not that, you know, I get up in the morning and say, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do this, and I'll live like this, and I'll think like this. It doesn't work like that. It's when I get up in the morning, here's what I'm to do. And it's in your notes, I want you to look at it. Here's what I'm to do. When I get up in the morning, the key to living a spiritual life and walking a spiritual walk is this. I start each day with prayer. Each day when I get up, I want to start it with prayer. And I walk through the day with an awareness of the Holy Spirit working in my life. In other words, I turn on, if you would, or get tuned in to my spiritual walk as I pray and talk to God first thing in the morning. That's what it means. The first thing that I should do when I awake is I should talk to God. That's what it means. That way, when I'm walking in the Spirit, then I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why I cannot live this Christian life on my own. You know, no more can you live the Christian life on your own than you can get saved on your own. A man can't save himself. He must have a Savior to save him, and that's Jesus Christ. And you can't live the Christian life on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and walk in the Spirit. That's what it means. So the Bible teaches that we understand what it means to walk in the Spirit, but we need to be clear on what we're talking about here. God is in three persons. Now, I don't want to be complicated here, and it is a great mystery. We do not understand the mystery. But God is in three persons. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And when we talk about walking in the Spirit, we're talking about being under the influence of the Spirit of God as we walk with Him every day. So when I get up in the mornings, I want to talk to Him first. When I go through the day, I want to let Him influence me. That's what it means, and we'll understand that in just a moment. So what God is saying is that you live the spiritual life by walking the spiritual walk. That's what He means. So we have to keep some things in mind. Number one, there's the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. When we are saved, the Bible said that we are now indwelt with the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you, this means that instantaneously, you didn't know it, I didn't know it, no person knows it, it just instantaneously happens that when you get saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. I mean, it's just that quick. It's the miracle working power of God. And 1 Corinthians tells me, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God indwelt you, and God indwells you once you are saved. Now, it's one thing to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, and that's very important. We realize that as Christians, that we're no longer in this world alone. I'm not walking around here now that I'm a Christian. I'm not walking around this world alone. I have God with me every day. That means if I'm working nights and everybody else is asleep and I'm by myself out on my shift, I have God with me. That means when I go to a foreign country and maybe I can't speak any of the language of that foreign country, I'm there all by myself trying to figure out how to get around that country. I have God there with me. That means wherever I am guaranteed of that. In fact, God gives me a promise in Hebrews 13. Here's what he says. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a great truth. To know that I have the God, the Holy Spirit with me, that he's indwelling me, that everywhere I go, no matter what it is I face in life, whether I'm going into surgery or go to work, or whether I'm out here maybe talking to someone about the Lord, I have the Holy Spirit there in my life. Amen. He walks with me. He goes with me. He guides me. But though he promises that he will always be there with me, I must choose whether I listen to him, whether I'm willing to let him have an influence over my life. I have to make that choice. His presence is to guide me. His presence is there to convict me. His presence is there to comfort me in my daily life as I go through the things that I face in life. But as we become aware of his presence, we must also recognize that when he speaks, we need to yield to his influence. I wrote in the notes here for you. You become aware of his presence when you come to church to hear God's word. While you're there, you're going to hear messages that will, there'll be the Holy Spirit of God to convict you. That conviction is that uneasiness. And it comes through preaching of God's word, because the Holy Spirit of God is working through his word. As remember, he's in your life, he's inside you, and as you're hearing the word of God, there's going to be that conviction of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about that. We deal with that. All of us do. We know we have that. And we must choose whether we're going to respond to that or ignore that. Are we just going to say, well, you know, it, you know, that's good for the deacons, or that's good for the preacher, but that's not for me. So we choose to ignore that. Or we can choose to accept that. Do whatever God asks of us to do. Here's the one principle I want you to understand. It's in black, bold print there in that note. Here's what it says. The more we yield to him, the more aware we become of his presence. In other words, the more I'm yielding to him, the more real he'll be in my life. The more I tell him no, the less he will be aware, and that I'll be aware of him in my life. That's just a fact. And so I want to know that if I'm going to live, and I'll tell you this, if you ignore him or tell him no, you are not living the Spirit-filled life. You are not walking a spiritual walk. You are going to be moved in the flesh, and you will fail your Christian life. So God shows us that we can't do it on our own. That's why we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. So we have that promise. Now also consider this, there's the provision of the Holy Spirit. Here in this passage, Luke is focusing not on requesting the Holy Spirit's presence, since he's already there, but requesting the Holy Spirit's filling in a person's life. There's a difference between knowing he's already there, because I can't say, I want the Holy Spirit in my life, because he is there. He's already promised that. I don't have to say something like this, dear God, be with me, because he is with me. But what I need to pray is this, dear God, I know you're with me. Lord, I want you to fill me with your power to live the Christian life as I'm supposed to. And the Bible says, if you notice in this passage, how do we do that? There's an importunity he mentions here in the passage. The idea is a man that goes to the merchant. And the merchant is the man who makes the bread. He's the baker, obviously. He goes at midnight because now he hears that his friend is coming. His friend is coming at midnight. I don't know what kind of friends would come to your house at midnight, but that's what's going on here. He's trying to prepare himself. He needs the bread. And he says, I can't make the bread now. But the Bible said that the friend kept on begging him, wanting him to get out of bed, to fix him the bread so he can have it, because it was necessary for his friend. And God is using this to illustrate about how we have the filling of the Holy Spirit in our life every day. Did you notice right at the end in verse 13, that's what he's saying. He's saying that if you notice that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, when you ask God, just like the friend didn't just ask God, and God says, you know, that he wasn't, you know, like just like one time. No, the idea is that we ask God for the filling every day. Every day. I need God's filling today. I need God's filling tomorrow. I need God's filling next week. I need God's filling every day of my life. So the idea then is, if I want God, the Holy Spirit, to fill my life, then I need to ask God for his filling every day so that I can live the Christian life. Now, our memory verse, did you notice our memory verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15:57? It said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that victory is found as I'm living the Spirit-filled life. That means that one man said it this way, it's not so much the fact that what I'm doing is that I need more of the Holy Spirit, it's really that the Holy Spirit needs more of me. In other words, it's the more I yield to him, and the more he fills me, and the more he takes control over my life, the better I can be for God and living for Christ. That's what he's talking about. And the key in all of that is desire. That's what he's saying. Do you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you desire to live for God victorious? Do you desire to have him in your life? The merchant in this story is the Lord. And he longs for us to seek daily the Holy Spirit. God promises to send the Holy Spirit's influence as we desire to have this in our life. That's why Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine or as excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So I'm to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Every day I want his filling. Every day I want to so walk my life that not, you know, I'm living in the flesh, and I'm not going to look at this, I'm not going to do that. No, it's I'm so walking in the spiritual life, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that nothing will distract me from walking with him. I would much rather be with him than I would with anybody else. And the best way to describe it is, once you have something that's best, why settle for anything less than the best? In other words, when you find the one that makes all the difference in the world in your life, you don't need anything else. Your mind's not distracted. There's nobody else that will take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus Christ is the perfect lamb sacrifice. Amen. He's the perfect Savior. He's the perfect Lord. There is no other. There is nothing else better. The world can't top what we have in Jesus Christ. And so God says that this provision is for us, and we must desire to have it. So we have the provision. Then thirdly, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." In the first century, to be a Christian could mean a certain death. There was hatred towards Christ and those who followed him. But the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm reading this section here so we'll understand it, would be to give them strength to live the Christian life even if it meant death. They didn't know that maybe when they received Christ that they could die, and many of them did die. We read about some of them in the Bible. We read about Stephen, who was one who died. He was a layman in the church that died. The obvious lesson here is that if God has given them the power to live the Christian life, in spite of the enemies, you and I can have the same power that God gave them so that we can resist the enemies that comes our way. What are enemies? The world, flesh, the devil, and the demons. So how can we do that? Well, we now have the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the strength and the ability to overcome those things that come in our life. Now, how does the Holy Spirit work? Well, the key is through the impressions in the heart. We call them the impressions in the heart. God does not speak audibly today. Some people like to believe he did. I guarantee if God spoke audibly, we'd all be running as fast as we could. I don't think, can you imagine if God said something to you like right now in the middle of the night? Hello. You'd be running. Especially if you thought it was God. God doesn't speak audibly today. God speaks through his word. But God also speaks through the Holy Spirit of God as he impresses in your heart. He gives you an impression. You say, what do you mean? Well, conviction is an impression. So if you're under conviction, like in a church service, when maybe you're sitting there hearing the word of God preached, and there's some area in your life that the Lord is focusing his light on, he's shining on that on your life, then he will impress in your heart, you need to make that right. Or maybe you're sitting there and you're turning on the television and there are things that you're tempted to watch that you shouldn't watch. The Holy Spirit of God will impress in your heart to turn the channel over. That's the Holy Spirit's way of dealing with your life. That's how we respond. And that's how we're allowing him to have the influence over our life. And through that, we're given the power of God to be able to have the victory over our sins. That's the whole idea. So we listen to the impression of the Holy Spirit. He makes sure that he wants us to understand how we're to live out this Christian life. Being led by the Holy Spirit means before we sin, he will warn us about the temptation in our lives. This warning may come through God's word, in preaching, through a mental reminder of something you've been taught from the Bible, or through a very uncomfortable feeling we call conviction. Sometimes the very lack of peace in your heart is about a decision is God's way of leading you into his path for your life. When we sin, the Holy Spirit will convict us, where we will feel guilt tremendously. This conviction is removed when we ask God's forgiveness. But can I remind you that sometimes, honestly, listen to me, sometimes the Holy Spirit will prevent you or try to warn you about the possible temptation to give in to sin before you ever get to that place. And the best place to deal with it is there, not until you're in the middle of it trying to overcome it. That's the whole idea. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit before we get down the road there. We don't wait until we're already, you know, right at it, and then we have to say yes and no. We want to say yes to God right here, so we don't even have to be down at this place. That's the whole idea. So can we live the Christian life on our own? No. We'll fail every time. But God has provided a way in which you and I can have victory over our sin and live the Christian life victorious every day. And that is walking the spiritual walk. Walking in concert with the Holy Spirit of God. All right, let's take a few minutes and answer the questions.